CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. Normally, we'd start off with some snappy banter, but this was a very serious week. However, I don't think I have two very serious individuals at my table, but I'll ask anyway. Let's start with our spectacular sound man, Mr. Jim Williams.
I beg your pardon. I can be serious when the situation warrants.
And our local numbers guy, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Well, it's obvious this man pulled his strap down because he's wanting a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
And new to the table tonight, Mr. Tom Delgado.
Good evening, Nikki. And I think the heart attack that Mr. Lawler suffered just got a big old fist drop.
And it's been such a crazy week for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's spin the Wayback Machine to Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Where our attention probably should have been more on the Primetime Players versus Daniel Bryan and Kane tag team match, as Crazy AJ decided that we needed a different number one contender. Well, the match was going all right, and my experience, something went weird with the audio during the match, and I was kind of, I had Cole kind of half tuned out. And, you know, it was a matter of that I had to go back and watch it again because I didn't realize what had happened until Cole made the announcement to the home crowd what had happened. Jim, you've watched the footage more than once. Now, watching it live.
Right.
Did you think anything was wrong?
I wasn't sure. I'll be honest. I was kind of half watching, half doing things online at the time, live Monday night. But I did hear it for what seemed like no reason. I thought I heard Jerry chants from the crowd in Montreal. And that made me wonder, what the heck's going on? And it wasn't until, like you said, when Cole said what he said, that it was like, oh, crap. And as we talked about in some special podcasts we did on Monday and Tuesday with Reckland Daniel of WrestleChat, you know, I had visions of, you know, what happened 13 years ago with Owen Hart in the back of my head. Just, you know, oh, God, it can't be this bad. And it was this bad, almost.
So, Tom, if you watched Raw Live, run your experience by us here.
All right. Like Jim, I was kind of half doing stuff on the computer and half with Raw, like pumped up, like I had the volume up so that I can hear because I was listening to something else on at the time. I started hearing the Jerry chants, and I'm like, I turned to the TV, which thankfully I only had to look up a little bit, and I don't see like what's going on right away. I'm thinking Jerry must have just told some CM Punk off again or something like that, and that's really what I thought at the time, but until Michael Cole said that what happened, I thought it was something related to CM Punk and Jerry Lawler, that little thing they had going.
Mm. Now, Step Boy, did you have to work Monday night?
Yep, I was there until midnight, so when I got home, I was like, what the hell was going on?
Mm. So, to be honest, during the during our emergency broadcast Monday night, I went back and watched the footage, and it was a matter, I was watching and listening, and Lawler did kind of trail off in his commentary. If you're watching the crowd, yeah, everybody's looking off to camera right where the announce table is. One wide shot shows Cole not even looking at his monitors. He looks like he's looking at the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even see Lawler. You can't see the EMTs, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
However,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Nikki, but the first time they panned out to that wide shot, it looked like Jerry was slumped over.
Yeah. Initially, I thought it was Cole, but it was It was indeed Jerry slumped over the table.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after Cole had made the announcement, I received a phone call from a friend of mine who is pretty much several years removed from watching wrestling in general, but apparently had a friend in her dorm who watched, and she heard that something had happened and called me.
Okay.
And I filled her in on the details and made it very clear, just like Cole did on the broadcast, this is legit. This isn't an angle. This isn't a story. We don't need something this crazy severe to go with Lawler's enmity with CM Punk. It would have been, 100% unnecessary. But it was just a huge, scary experience, the fact that Lawler was clinically dead for 20 minutes. They kept working on him. They got him to the hospital, leaving poor Michael Cole at the table. I never thought I'd say that. Alone. But Cole was just extremely classy and had more or less held it together through the process. During one of the updates, Tom, I thought I heard a bit of a tremble in his voice.
So did I. I think the first update it was that
first or second.
I thought, yeah, the first or second. And I heard like from others who had watched the show, I guess, like because when after that happened, I really kept my eye on the show, but maybe I missed something. But I heard like people saying that Cole was crying at the commentary table, like while the matches were going on. Someone had gotten a picture of that.
Yeah, I mean, both of his hands were to his head, and
there's that one picture floating around. I posted it. I had posted it in the chat during one of the emergency broadcasts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just mind-numbing.
I think it was a very good call to not have Cole call the rest of the night. I don't think he was in any shape to do so. The fact that he was still coherent at this point. I mean, Jim, think about, I don't want to jinx you, but if you were doing commentary and your color guy just
I'd probably get up and leave, quite frankly. No disrespect to the viewing audience or anything like that, but Cole did a remarkable job given the circumstances. I mean, he had to inform the fans as best he could, and he was in no. I'm surprised, and we talked about this as well. How the hell he even finished the Daniel Bryan Kane, the whole tag team match was mind numbing because he sounded like, from the beginning of the like he did in the beginning of the match after that little pause for when, Lawler was tended to. It's just unbelievable and remarkable. He went back. He went back to his Michael Coulthard days, if you will, back to his news days in radio back in the earlier part of the 90s. We joke all the time, the war correspondent thing, but you know what? It's legitimate. I mean, he was an award-winning radio journalist, and I think he drew from that to get through what was a dire situation. Because let's not kid ourselves. Through everything, the horrible angle between him and Lawler that has gone on for God knows how long, too long. They're great friends. I mean, they've been working together since Cole came to the Fed in 1997. They've traveled the roads together. Hearing them in some of those not made for TV clips, they're on the same wavelength with humor and everything. who doesn't like to pick on Tony Chimmel? You know what I mean?
Everybody picks on Tony Chimmel.
Yes.
I was going to say, everybody in the whole Bleeding Company picks on Tony Chimmel.
Yeah, but it's just amazing. And then we fast forward from there, and the last update we got that Monday night was that he was breathing. He was taken to a hospital in Montreal, where he has been since Monday as we record this on Friday night. And it's just been from here, miracle after miracle, literally.
The
news that he only had one blocked artery, 98% blocked. They went ahead and did the angioplasty right away. He was alert on, you know, he was alert on Tuesday, gets on the phone on Wednesday and calls Michael Cole, mm-hmm. which, you know, blew Cole's mind. We get a tout, and VRM, you will unban tout on your show.
Yes.
And if Lawler, Lawler sends us a tout just to let us know, hey, you know, I thank you for all your thoughts and prayers. You know, I'm doing good. I'm getting there. You know, I've still got a lot ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. And he sounds as coherent as ever, and he has that same wit about him, saying that he had more lines hooked up to him than AT&T. Yeah, the same bad humor, but still, it's that kind of humor we need. And later Thursday night, another picture of him comes in. And I don't know about this. Here he is. He's eating a steak dinner.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you know, it's good to be the king, sort of.
Well, it's just I call celebrity rule for him getting a dinner that good in a freaking hospital.
No, it's Montreal. Yeah. You know, the French always have good food. So,
sacre bleu!
But yeah, that steak did look good.
Indeed. There's
talk that he could be home this weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Stat Boy, let me just put this all in y'all's minds. Mm-hmm. Mid-October, WWE is doing Nashville and Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
How much you think would be left of either town if Lawler showed up then?
I don't think much would be left, and yeah, this is going to, and I bet it will happen, because from what I've heard, Lawler's supposed to be coming home very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wouldn't be surprised if Lawler showed up next month there and then got back onto the high horse come Hell in the Cell.
I don't see him. I know they said that one of the doctors said that him actually participating in matches wasn't out of the realm of possibility, Jim, but I don't see him trying that again, at least till the first of the year.
In a perfect world, he would never wrestle another match again, but this is Jerry Lawler, and as Michael Cole mentioned in an interview with Fox and Friends, I believe it was Thursday morning, Lawler wrestles 250 to 300 times a year still. On independent, he wrestles a lot on the independent scene and is active as well. So, you know, it's not like the Ric Flair syndrome. It's, I love this business. I don't need the money. I love this business. It's in my blood, which I can respect and understand completely. Hopefully they take it easy. Hopefully Punk doesn't have any barbs. That I wonder if they're going to just, you know, end that whole Punk Lawler thing now, but
probably not. They probably won't once Lawler is back up.
Right.
At least hold it off until he comes back.
Exactly. Yeah. To say, "Oh yeah, Jerry, talk about respect. You decided to keel over on my show." And then Punk will come out, "You have an aorta."
And we're all going to hell.
Yeah, well, there is
no, because Lawler would laugh at that too.
He probably would.
Speaking of Punk, him and Cena and Brett in the final segment of Raw, pure professionalism.
Oh god! Just, and it was a great segment too, in and of itself.
You know, trying to get everybody back over here. Hey, we still got a wrestling show to do. They still had an hour to take care of business. And boy, did they in the main.
Yeah, they did. That was what we call theater. That was great theater. With the old and new generation, if you will, doing their thing. And it's set up, you know, it makes the main event a little more intriguing at the pay-per-view this Sunday at Night of Champions. Kudos to all three men for going through and you know, getting the crowd off on a high note. I'm sure they're very upset over Pat Patterson night, but no, let's not go there. Yes. Iron Sheik loves him forever. But seriously, it was just a great way to... obviously, you don't forget about what happened to Lawler. That was in the forefront of everybody's mind, but it was a good go-home moment, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. with that in mind, I am going to do something that we don't do very often.
No.
As you know, periodically we throw the worst of the worst into this wonderful little hole called Room 101.
I see the door. It has a red light now on it. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, only one thing has actually escaped Room 101, and that's Forth for his unjust imprisonment.
I thought it was Art O'Donnell. Okay.
Did we throw him in there? I got to check the list again.
No, he snuck in there one night and asked everybody how much they weighed.
Exactly.
I hope
Doofus.
You heard that. That was a face palm. Anywho.
Yes.
I understand that this has been voted on, you know, in and out of the group, so I'm gonna just throw this out here so that the audience understands. Yes. I am actually opening the door. And I am going to let a Mr. Michael Coulthard out.
Mm-hmm.
For his unparalleled professionalism and courage under fire, everything that he did Monday night from that tag match on, the amount of humility and respect I heard from him in that Fox and Friends interview, I did watch that. Mm-hmm. We owe him that much.
And quite frankly, I think this, and this is a tertiary at best sidebar to what happened Monday night. I think the fans can get off of Michael Cole's case now permanently because of what he did Monday night. I'd mm-hmm. like to hope, well, of course, the number three's notwithstanding, but...
Well,
fuck the mouth breathers.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
But I don't think he should be the hated individual, even though he will portray himself to be that, I'm sure, still. I don't know. I didn't watch SmackDown. I'm sure he was portraying himself as such still.
He wasn't that bad. Okay. I did not mute my television.
Right. Okay, well, what I'm getting at is, you know, hopefully the fans, after 15 years and still remembering JR kicking him in the balls when JR was doing his heel turn that went horribly wrong, they've gotten over all of that and can respect Cole. Maybe not necessarily like him, but respect the hell out of him.
No, I can respect him. I'm just gonna keep a running gif of him getting the DX wedgie.
Well, that's fun. Come on.
But to be clear, because this was the dissension about it, I am letting Michael Coulthard, the man, out of Room 101. His commentary from 2010 on, his feud with Jerry Lawler that led to a Wrestle Freaking Mania match, and any other little instances that we have put him in there for, all of that stays in there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of that shit is not forgivable.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that storyline with Lawler, and I'm sure in the back of his mind, I mean, you know, you do what the company says, but going back to how personal they made the storyline, I'm sure that was creeping in the back of his head a little bit during the events on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have. Because, I know they agree on everything that goes down, and it's all, you know, in advance, but still, that's, you know.
Right. To maintain balance in Room 101, however, I am going to take the one dissenting voice.
I'm never going to...
The one person... I'm not even going to mention him by name.
I'm never going to watch the match again, a match of his again now, I don't think.
I'm not going to mention him by name. But those of you, you know, anybody who wants to play around on Twitter, you can find the one dissenting voice.
Can we?
And make sure.
I was going to say, can we give this much of a hint? He's a gangsta?
Yeah.
He's an original gangsta.
He's an original gangsta. He did work briefly for my dear Uncle Paul, but after what he did on Twitter, he ain't working for anybody. Good riddance.
Night, night, Jerome.
Let's just say cheese grater upside his ass. All right.
Done. So, to sum up, Jerry Lawler no-sold death.
Mm-hmm. He mocked death. He mocks death!
He didn't mock him, but he put up a hell of a match.
He pile drove the Grim Reaper. I mean, for God's sakes, and we've said this before and we'll say it again, the man reportedly was clinically dead for something like 20 minutes. He should have had brain damage. He's coherent as hell. No brain damage. It's nothing short of a miracle. Seriously.
And I shouldn't make a joke about this, but I think Jerry Lawler defeating the Grim Reaper should be the PWI match of the year. If they still do that.
I'd vote for it.
I would.
So would I.
Better than any John Cena match, that's for sure. Super! No. You know what? Screw Super Cena. Super Lawler greater than Super Cena.
There you go. Indeed. See, now, you know, if we're going to talk about tasteless jokes, I could make one. I wanted to make one about Michael Cole actually muting himself.
Oh, man.
But I can't.
No.
And I won't.
No.
Much as I want to, but no.
Well, can we beg an obvious question here?
Sure.
Lawler's going to be out for a little while. We at least assume he's going to be out for a few weeks at least. Who will take over the chair on Raw next to Michael Cole? Couple good names come to mind immediately. One that will never be chosen for reasons unbeknownst to all of us.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out moment!
Sadly, that won't be the choice. What do you think, Josh?
Sorry, I am lost in thought right now. Could you repeat?
Well, the question I have is, who's going to take Lawler's spot temporarily on Raw?
I sincerely don't know. I would hope that it's somebody like Josh Matthews. But I don't think that would exactly work. We need somebody new, because eventually we're going to wind up with retirements, deaths. Because, as all of you know, the commentators on Raw aren't getting much younger, because Michael Cole's in his early 40s, so he's got time. But Jerry's 62. He should be starting to look down the barrel of retirement, even though he probably won't for a very long time.
Right.
They need to start grooming the next batch, much like they were doing in the New Generation after Bobby the Brain or Heenan and Monsoon left. Otherwise, we're going to wind up with more Rob Bartletts.
Uncut, uncooked, and uncensored.
Indeed.
Tom, what do you think?
Logic says Josh Matthews, because I believe he was on the SmackDown taping.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to say Josh Matthews, but I would not be surprised to see just about anybody else. I don't know what WWE has up their sleeve as far as a short-term replacement, like if it's not Matthews, but matter to me right now.
I think it's Josh Matthews because he's been the go-to guy in the past. Nikki, I'm sure you want to throw another name out there, probably.
Well, as I joked, I would pay a lot of money if it was Matt Stryker. I really would like to see him back out there. His history is not very good, but he's kind of a Dennis Miller at that table,
which is good for me, you, and many intelligent fans, but for John and Jane Q public, not so much.
So, I know that I would also like them to go, you know, twist Scott Stanford's arm and have him go out there, but that would be two play-by-play guys, I think.
Well, technically with Josh you get that too, but Josh can be an analyst, so.
Given that JR has been very vocal throughout the week, I would love to see them try to twist his arm to come in and commentate for a little bit even.
I mean, yeah,
because who knows? Seeing JR's color.
That's the only thing he's been when he's working with Cole. He has to be a color guy because Cole can't do color really that well.
True.
I mean, even on SmackDown, it's like two play-by-play guys going back and forth.
Right. So I'm thinking the best thing to do, since if Lawler does come back in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I think they should do a rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Give Stryker 1 week. Give Stanford a week. Give Josh a week. Give JR a week if he's interested.
I would think he might be.
And, you know, or do what they were doing. I think it was last week where they, you know, it was last week or a couple of weeks ago where Miz was sitting with Cole for a little bit.
It was last week. Monday, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where we have a rotation of wrestlers coming in to put in their 2 cents.
There we go, yeah. For different matches.
Cole and Miz had really good chemistry. It was good stuff. They didn't do a whole bunch of the Mutual Admiration Society, which I muted, but...
Hey, Cole got some one-liners in on Miz against him, so yeah.
So, yeah. I think a rotation would be in order, and when Lawler comes back, you know, like I said, there's not going to be much left of Nashville, and there's going to be nothing left of Memphis.
Well,
absolutely.
So, would make the joke about the Mid-South Coliseum, but probably too late to do so.
Probably.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to take my show back, Jim.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to field that question to the masses. I apologize.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You know, I know how to put you in your place.
Don't.
Oh, yeah.
Don't. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do it.
No.
Do it.
Nikki, not what? Tonight. Not
no?
tonight.
Oh, come on.
No. Thank you, Josh.
Trust me, I did it hard enough last time we had a pick'em.
I don't want to know what you did. Okay.
Well, okay, fine. I won't do that.
Some of us do have standards.
Oh, Jesus. Composure. Go ahead.
Okay. This event, as I said, has overshadowed most of the week, and even to the point that it could be heard in Orlando. I'm going to thank VRM for tipping me off to this because I had heard on Impact that something was said about Lawler. Tanay and Taz did speak about the incident and sent their well wishes, which is kind of cool because I don't think the opposite would happen. Say if something happened to Tanay, we wouldn't hear about it on Raw.
Doubtful.
Would we, Tom?
Doubtful.
Absolutely not.
Because none of them ever worked with Tanay.
True, but if it were Tanay or if it were Taz, I honestly don't think they'd say anything about Taz. Even though he was a commentator there for, what, 5 years?
I think they would say something in passing.
Yeah, probably in passing, but that's about it.
So, but just, you know, it's been a good week. We've had, you know, nothing but good news since everything came tumbling down Monday night. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Lawler, we're still pulling for you, man. And if the strap has come down, if you can get around all the wires to get to it. I'm allowed to make that joke.
Yes, yes.
You are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, his girlfriend is up there, so.
So, now let's actually go to some of the other stuff that happened on Raw.
kind of an afterthought, you know, but yeah.
One of the most fun things is the fact that they've decided to... I can't even say it's a 7-year rule because I think a little bit of Matt Hardy and MVP, but we've got one of these strange bedfellow tag teams in Daniel Bryan and Kane, thanks to Dr. Shelby.
He is a genius.
I am loving the back and forth that's going on with this. Tom, what do you think? What do you think of this pairing so far?
It's a pretty strange pairing, but you know what? It works. It really does work, and I'm digging it right now because like yeah, they got pretty good chemistry in that the doctor thing, like going to the anger management. I wasn't really sold on it at first, but when the segments came through, I'm rolling on the floor laughing. I mean, they're funnier than I thought they would be.
Now, I'll throw this at you, Tom. The one that they did on SmackDown tonight was not that terribly PG.
Oh. Okay.
I think the only thing that was missing was that the stress balls were not blue.
Oh, is that code?
Yes.
It may very well be. But little touches, like Brian almost losing his mind in the opening promo, or Kane being supervised by Dr. Shelby after his match with Kingston. If you look quick, Kingston's eyes were all bugging out while Kane was hugging him. Thinking he's gonna die.
Donna got hugged.
But so I don't know if I want to go into details about a comment I had heard from somebody regarding Dr. Shelby.
Well, you already opened mouth, so.
All right, so blame Jason.
Well, we have a scapegoat. This is good. Go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He referred to Dr. Shelby as this hard left, liberal, tree hugging, Prius driving.
Oh, man.
Fop.
Wow.
I'm going to use the word fop. He used a different word.
Does it rhyme with Bob Saget?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
Okay, that's yikes. What I thought. Oh, my God. Jason, enjoy your four-week suspension from the show. man alive. Well, you know, and why must we assume he's a liberal? I'm just saying, conservatives are whack jobs, too. Oh, wait, wrong show.
Wait a minute.
Wrong show. Sorry.
Red state, blue state, it's over there.
Oh. It all blurs together at this time of the week. No, the I'm with you, though, Nikki. The Dr. Shelby skits and the anger management is some of the funniest stuff Creative has done recently, which makes me say to myself, well, Creative must have gotten a new writer or something, because the old guys couldn't come up with this.
And either that or somebody has noticed that Kane can make almost anything work.
Very flexible, yes.
Also, he's, you know, he is no stranger to strange tag teaming.
True.
I'll just say 2002 and 2003.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The Hurricanes, anyone?
Yes.
What
up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
God, I miss that. I miss that pairing because that was so much fun.
Rose indeed.
Then Kane working with RVD.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can find their promo from Christmas, from that Christmas, I call the promo the Zen of Hungry Hungry Hippos. Seriously, Rob gave him a Hungry Hungry Hippos game and then explained the game existentially.
Wow.
While stoned or not? Oh, wow.
Well.
So I can't speculate. to which Kane just walks away in a huff, and Rob thinks about it. He says, dude, I knew I should have gotten him Chutes and Ladders.
Hungry Hungry Hippos is the greatest game in the history of our industry. Are you kidding me?
So, putting these two together, mm-hmm. and, you know, it just, you know, the lights are all coming on at this point, especially at the argument on SmackDown. Well, I want to be a tag team champion. Well, I want to be a tag team champion. They're actually arguing. They're agreeing and arguing at the same time.
I want it more. No, I want it more.
So, no, I'll save that for Pick'ems.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got something in the back of my head, but... Interesting that we get these two to trump what, you know, what has been heard around the interwebs that the primetime players were guys that Vince was really into. But Tom, let me speculate this. Do you think PTP are getting a minor punishment because of the whole AW fiasco, or is it they're just not ready?
I think not for nothing. I think the primetime players are an innocent victim in all of this. I never thought Titus O'Neil and Darren Young were that good to begin with, and I think the head brass is starting to see a little bit of that. I mean, that's just me, though. I could be wrong, but I think they're just not ready.
Okay, Step, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think they're really ready for the tags, to be honest. Yes, they've shown some flashes of brilliance, but they're still too green, still too inexperienced. Though I would like to see them win the tag belts, doing so would more or less say, we don't give up about tag belts.
Well, they're starting to care, because we actually have a semblance of a tag division.
True.
Although, speaking of those of who we should care about, who we shouldn't care about, we got any NXT viewers here?
The show's still on?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Not much.
Trent Barretta.
Okay.
Yes.
Where's Trent?
There's Trent. The video package that they did for him is hysterical. They actually had a graphic of his picture on a milk carton.
The same one they use on Z True Long Island Story, I assume.
Yeah, that's the exact same one.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah, because they enlisted Zach and a bunch of the wrestlers to open it with, hey, where's Trent? And so they do this big dramatic thing. He's coming back to NXT, and they cut to some random stagehand finding him in a closet, you know, surfing the interwebs and munching on chips, saying, "Hey, you want to be on NXT next week?" Yeah.
Why not?
Some random schmo is Dolph Ziggler's brother.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't know who. I didn't recognize him.
There you go.
Yeah, that's because the brown hair throws everything off.
Did Evan Bourne get taller?
Yes.
Oh. So that's what synthetic does. Ah.
Damn. Oh, goodness. Unfortunately, there's not always... It's not all good news out there. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it's kind of stormy in Sunny's world.
Oh,
currently, her skies are dark and gray.
They're cloudy, per se.
Yes.
Yo!
I don't want that image again, Henninger. I'd never want to hear that image again.
Oh, boy.
Allow me. Brain bleach!
Don't you, Shane. Durga Durk.
Thank you, Mickey.
Yes, Daddy likes.
Oh, God.
Down, Stat Boy, down.
Why?
Josh, you ever been on methamphetamines? Just asking.
You have.
You ever been in a Turkish prison? I'm sorry.
Ninja, please.
Okay.
Hell
no. All right, well, I wasn't... little Jimmy might have been. Go ahead.
So, anyway, to try to get this train back on the tracks, wish me luck. Let's see. Just the fact that Sonny was arrested on Tuesday, arrested on Wednesday, arrested on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a bit from Chappelle's show, from Charlie Murphy. And one saying about the Rick James skit, actually, and I'll use it on Sonny. Sonny's the kind of person who, you know, she sees the line and she steps over the line. She does it habitually. She's an habitual line stepper. That's what she is. I mean, you know, let's recap this. And these are all related to domestic violence. This is according to WFSB Channel 3 in Connecticut. Sitch kept going to her boyfriend's house after police told her, don't do that. During one of the incidents, she actually got wrestling on him, placed him in a headlock, pulled his hair. Later, she was intoxicated and entered the residence by climbing through a window. She was released on $500 bond the first time. Arrest again the second time for disorderly conduct and strangulation for an incident involving the same man, then was released on $25,000 bond. Then arrested Thursday night for once again violating a restraining order, she was released on $2,500 bond. It's mind-numbing, and now the next step is rehab.
I hope they've got bars on her on those windows.
See what you did there.
Uh-huh.
What?
Well, never mind.
Right. I'm thinking of something else. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. Just, you know, like I said, it hasn't been, you know, no, I won't say that.
It hasn't exactly been the best of weeks for wrestling in general. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, there you go.
Is this guy still employed?
God. Yes. May
yes,
I
he is.
Have your attention, please?
Oh.
I have just received an email from the NAWC general manager on my Sanyo Wavy 70 FD2.
I call bollocks.
Oh. Well,
shenanigans.
Well, aren't you special?
Thank you, Stat Boy.
Aha! It didn't exist. There's no pic. Oh, wait, there's the picture. The picture loads up about as fast as the actual unit does. It's that slow. Looks like a freaking.
Let's see. In big bold letters, it says, "You do not have to open this email with," and I quote.
Ah.
Ah.
We're making headway.
Out of respect for Mr. Coulthard. We're not. I'm not leaving, and you don't have to retire the routine. Please forward this to Brian Henniger. I'll look into it.
Sure thing.
Let's see. No witty banter. Witty banter from me this week. I'm just relieved that Jerry Lawler is on the mend. Face palming about Tammy Sitch, and shaking my head even harder at the fact that Jericho has a tattoo.
What? What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Jericho, actually, please investigate Jericho's Twitter for a picture of the Sin and Bones logo that he has tattooed on his arm.
Oh, thank goodness. I was hoping it wasn't a tramp stamp.
I just wish he had stopped with the F for Fozzie that he had tattooed on his hand. Let's see. It's nice to see that Jericho is dedicated to his musical cause. We do miss him in wrestling. Speaking of advertising, we might have to take a minute and do a little advertising of our own. Gentlemen, refreshments are over there, and the restrooms are unlocked. Let's take a couple minutes to sell some soap, and we'll come back with some news and some pick'ems.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hello, this is the game show man, Joe Van Ginkle, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Joe Van Ginkle, get out of my f***ing head!
And here we are back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. I'm here with Jim Williams, Tom Delgado, and Stat Boy Josh Henniger. Turns out I was going to try not to talk Red State, Blue State kind of stuff on my show, but somebody's making me do it anyway. That would be WWE.com.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Tom, there's videos missing.
No!
I need to see this.
Hey, Stapwood.
Right, there are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything from, 97, 98-ish, most of that stuff has disappeared.
No.
And I know there's a bunch of number threes saying, well, that was good shit. Why'd you get rid of that?
So apparently all the number threes are from Hicksville.
Well, I'm not very good at Mark, who is smart.
I'm Mark, and I'm smart.
And he's probably pissed off because they took all the good videos off back when wrestling was cool.
Yes, like with the Headbangers, and of course with the
Truth Commission.
Truth Commission, yes. And of course, you know, everyone go see the Greatest Show.
Gather up all jugglos and row.
They were super. And of course, the JR's Raw table is the best announced table in the history of our industry. Yeah, but yeah, all that stuff is taken down to avoid any use. Well, I'll give you the quote. How about this?
Go for
Brian
it.
Brian Flynn, WWE Senior Vice President of Marketing Communications, said, and I quote, "To better reflect our current family-friendly brand of entertainment, WWE is removing some dated and edgier footage from digital platforms. Some of this footage has been misused in political environments without any context or explanation as to when it was produced. This damages the corporate reputation of our company. WWE is well within its rights to protect its intellectual property for fair use." That's corporate speak for... They're using this against Linda, and Vince is not happy.
And no, it's just there's a corporate word for it.
Bullshit.
Ah, yes.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Watch as we get stand up for WWE 2, and all the number ones, twos, and threes go, "Oh, not again."
As if Be a Star isn't bad enough.
Yeah.
And you'll get to do another round of Is This Offensive?
Yes. Well, you know, it's America's fastest-growing quiz show. It really is.
Well, I mean, just from... Actually, that is something that I need to go back and cover real quick. Mm-hmm. Sheamus' deposition.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding the brogue kick.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody who's been through a deposition. That's probably the friendliest one I've ever seen.
Everybody's happy, holding hands and singing... Hava Nikila.
Nikila, Hava Nikila. Anyway.
Didn't know an Irish Jewish? Never mind.
Speaking of non-PG segments, anyway.
Yeah, really.
Seamus Lipschitz, come on.
So wait a minute. That means Beaker's last name is Lipschitz?
No, their cousins might be something else.
Well, it's possible. Just saying.
I know, I'm with you. Wow, that's not PG. Although, prop to the special effects department for the brogue kick to the camera.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But with the brogue kick band, oh, come on, that wasn't even a $200 video camera.
Yeah, pretty much.
And... Am I supposed to be sympathetic to Ricardo Rodriguez?
No.
See? No.
And I'm sorry, but David Otunga in the quote-unquote lawyer's collar.
Yeah, that's going to put butts in the seats.
Actually, no, it just amused me more because listening to Michael Cole's outrage at the end of the segment after Sheamus had ripped the collar off of Otunga, I quipped, who wouldn't want to do that to a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
The people who lost their cases would.
But remember, Otunga is undefeated.
In his own little mind, maybe.
I don't know. In his legal battles, he's undefeated.
Sorry, Otunga. 0-0 doesn't count.
Well, no, it's not that. See, the thing is that, you know, I'm sure he's got a handful of little initials that go on all of his law degrees. The problem is his wrestling degree ends in JTTS.
Oh, say it with us all together now. He's only there to get Jennifer Hudson to sing America the Beautiful at WrestleMania. Okay.
Really? Insert what Jim said here.
Yeah, pretty much. And since she is from the New York area originally, just saying, floating it out there.
Sounds about right.
But that's WrestleMania. Right now, we need to talk more about Night of Champions.
I can't say it in Spanish, sorry.
Well, no, that's fine.
Nueve el campeones.
Noche de los campeones. Where's Hugo?
Yeah, I may have a last name that's Spanish, but I don't speak a dime. I don't speak a word of it.
¿Dónde están mis pantalones? ¿Pantalones? ¿Dónde?
Huh?
For those who've never taken Spanish, I just asked, where are my pants? Pants where?
Qué ruido.
Yeah.
And for that translation,
did you just call me a donkey?
No,
burrito. What the hell?
Noise. Good lord, the noise! Stat boy, get me out of this.
We.
Goal. Okay.
Well, apparently we've got ourselves a pay-per-view coming up here on Sunday. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And yes, every title is on the line. As we will be going to Night of Champions. We have a total of 8 matches on the card, but it's going to be a little bit weird on the 8. A total of 10 points possible. And with that, let's start off. Not with the pre-show. We'll deal with that later.
All right.
But we'll deal with the most boring match, the one that'll probably put half the crowd asleep, and the other half will go take a whiz. It's Layla versus Caitlyn for the Divas Championship.
Now, Layla and Caitlyn have been playing nicey-nicey, and Eve has been very impressed with all of this. That's unfortunately all there is to this story. I believe, Statboy, this is a 1-point match?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So, Tom, it's very simple. Who wins?
Well, sure as heck ain't the audience. But since we have to pick a winner, I'm going to say the title does not change hands.
Okay. I forgot to give you an option, sir.
There is one other thing.
Okay.
Nikki, go ahead.
Thank you. If it's a match you totally do not care, you yourself, if you had ordered this pay-per-view, you yourself will probably be in the restroom or on the phone ordering a pizza. You can do what's called flush. You get half the points automatically.
I think I'll save my flush for another match.
And you don't have to flush at all.
You can flush the whole pay-per-view if you want.
You would be guaranteed 4.5 points because you didn't get the wild card, nor should you at that point.
Exactly. Right. But I think I think I know WWE logic enough. The Divas title is insignificant as far as the whole scheme of things, so I think it stays with the champion.
All right, Jim?
Now, you're saying there's nothing exciting about this match. I don't know if you have a Booker T soundbite on standby for my thoughts on this match.
Oh, I think it can help you there.
Oh, suck it, duck it, quack, quack.
So that's where it came from.
Yes, him going nuts over women. Well, at least I feel that way about Caitlyn, and any person who says otherwise, you know, is not straight. No. But that being said, Layla's going to retain because, well, Caitlyn hasn't done anything to prove she deserves the title. Question mark. This whole thing is an afterthought. Next.
That boy.
Yeah, this match is also too obvious for me. I don't know if they're ever going to put it on anyone else. And to be honest, if they retired it tomorrow, I think about 10 people would care. And that's being generous. Layla retains.
And two of them would be... Well, never mind.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my number two.
Okay. Well, much as I would like to back my latest recruit, Caitlyn, since I finally connected with her in Rochester.
I didn't give her my number.
You didn't tell me to. For the sake of argument, yeah, Layla is going to retain, and then they can actually try to make the storyline interesting and have Caitlyn turn. However, I can see how everybody is enjoying this match, allow me.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
So that might be slightly tasteless after what happened Monday, but okay.
Oh.
No, and I didn't mean it that way.
I know how you meant, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Now I feel bad.
I'm not trying to. Next match.
Stab boy, save
the
me.
Next match in terms of importance, but not in fun factor. Oh no, no, no. You have the WWE Tag Team Championships on the line. As, well, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth face off against Team Hug It Out.
Oh, no.
Team Friendship.
Is magic.
So,
I've been waiting for you to do an intro on that.
Grr! I'd not do that.
Do we need a real Can't Stop Wave?
Yes.
I'll have to pull it up at some
That's
point.
A long one somewhere. All right, is this a two-pointer?
This is a two-point question. Uh-oh. Who wins? And excuse me for a second. Who gets to see the pretty lights?
I'm scared.
Just for that sound bite, Stat Boy, you go first.
Well, here's my big hope. And to be honest, I believe that this can happen. I'm sorry, Kofi. I'm sorry, R-Truth. You guys no longer need those belts. You're just dragging them at this point. Team Hug It Out leaves victorious. R-Truth gets pinned. After a cane choke slam, of course.
I like that. I'm gonna go with that. Team Friendship with Truth on his back and little Jimmy crying. Tom?
I think that is one of the titles that does change hands. I think Kane and Daniel Bryan, they're getting all the attention. Kofi's getting squashed. And yeah, this isn't going to end well for Kofi, R-Truth, and all the little Jimmies. New champs.
And Jim?
If there was a guarantee that Kane and Daniel Bryan would fight each other during the pay-per-view in a match, I would go against them. But how can you not like Team Friendship is murder? Kane and Daniel Bryan will ride on to Equestria with the championships. God, why me? Kane is going to pin Kofi, and Kofi's going to be looking up at the pretty lights.
Wow.
That reminds me, Tom, who's getting pinned?
You got that, Kingston.
Oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah, Kofi's getting squashed, and I'd actually like to call in my wild card here.
Okay.
Something will happen after the match. I think one of the either Kane or Daniel Bryan will attack the other. I see another Kane chokeslam coming. As they hug, chokeslam.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay.
And then Dr. Shelby says that wasn't a good thing for Kane to do, and we get another segment on Raw.
Yay.
Yay.
You know she's the world champion, you know.
Next match, Stat Boy.
To the other two-pointer, and where the pre-show is going to come into play. As we have ourselves, as the YouTube pre-show, a battle royal for number one contendership for the WWE United States title. The winner of that will face off against Antonio Cesaro in the United States title match on the actual pay-per-view. Now, this is a two-point question. Who will win, and who is the mystery opponent? And no, you can't use wild cards on who the mystery opponent is, because that ain't how it works.
Gotcha.
Jim, you first.
Well, obviously, it's going to be Baltimore's own football legend, Art O'Donnell. No.
Stop that.
We'll ask how much does everybody in the ring weigh. No, you know what? What the heck? I'm going to say Zack Ryder wins the Battle Royal because he has a history of winning Battle Royals. But Cesaro wins and gets to, you know, mack it with Oksana, who will entertain him or something.
Hmm. All right, Stat Boy.
Sarah Del Rey does not approve of that bullshit, and you know it.
Woo, 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 I do.
Oh. And also, stop stealing my thunder, Williams.
Sorry, Henniger.
Cesaro wins. Ryder is your winner of the Battle Royale.
Tom.
I think we're in for Cesaro wins lol. Because I don't know. For one, I gotta know who for sure is gonna be in the Battle Royal before I can make a serious prediction. But since that information is probably not gonna be available until when it happens, I'm gonna have to Tyson Kidd. I don't know.
Not a bad pick.
No, it's not a bad pick.
Makes sense. Because
I'm thinking my thinking is a babyface will win the Battle Royal because heel versus heel does not work very well in current WWE logic.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go out on a limb because the Santino stuff has not been completely resolved. I think they're going to give him one more shot, but Cesaro is going to retain.
Hmm. And I'm guessing it's off to NXT for Santino and the Cobra.
No.
Well, I'd love to use... I don't want to use my wild card here. I'm just going to throw this out there. This is not my wild card.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That the reason Santino is going to lose is because the Cobra's going to attack him.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my wild card, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now to the other mid-card belt, as we have the Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship, as your current champion, The Miz, faces off against Rey Mysterio, Cody Rhodes, and Sin Cara, Sin Cara, Friendly Neighborhood Sin Cara.
To go with all the other memes.
Likes to botch, likes to jump. Anyway.
Likes to botch, likes to fight underneath stupid lights. Look out, here comes the Sin Cara.
Oh,
fuck. Thank you, Super Blizzard.
I am officially under the furniture.
Super Blizzard!
Meh. Damn it, Stat Boy. Anyway, just for that, you got to pick first.
Sure thing. I've already got my answer picked out. I don't think the belt's going to be changing hands anytime soon. Miz needs the belt just to build himself back up after the Marine 3, even marinier. So, yes, The Miz retains.
Jim.
I think it has to be The Miz. I mean, Rey Mysterio is still not 100%. Sin Cara is Sin Cara. And Cody Rhodes hasn't been without the title long enough, so Mizgasm on Sunday, The Miz retains.
Tom?
Rey doesn't need it. Cody doesn't need it back. Sin Cara would probably just botch it. Miz by default. Next.
And I'm calling Miz just because they have made him into a major underdog going in. He hasn't won all week. So, yeah.
Okay, underdog rule. Got you.
Underdog rule plus the fact that they'll probably keep using Mysterio and Sin Cara, Los Luchadores, as part of the tag division. And Cody doesn't need the belt right now.
Mm-hmm.
So next.
To the only match that's not a title match, which is confusing, as Randy Orton faces off against Dolph Ziggler. Who wins?
I'm throwing my head in and being an optimist, and I need Ziggler to win this. Jim?
conundrum, because I want Ziggler to win too, but you know what? I'll pull the trigger. He's here to show the world. He's here to show the world. Show off. Dolph Ziggler.
Tom.
I really want to say Ziggles on this one, but I have a feeling that they're going to cater to the kiddies and for some weird reason and give Orton the win. I'm going to take Randy Orton, and I don't feel good about it.
Does this set us up for Josh to say Randy's proper name?
Maybe.
Does Tomko give you beats?
Does Tank Abbott stand on a square?
The answer is no. Dolph wins. He needs this win much more than Blandy Borton, who's one strike away from going sayonara, bitch cakes.
Baby oil.
Jesus Christ, no.
One strike, yes. And it's off to the land of rejects.
Off to the land of parting gifts.
Yes.
Also known as TNA.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's Blandy Borton doing in the Impact Zone?
If he came out to that, I would start watching Impact.
All right. Now to the first of two world title matches. Sheamus will face off against Alberto Del Rio, where the brogue kick is banned. Obviously, 1 point. Who wins?
Tom.
Oh, I want to say Del Rio because I think Sheamus has held it enough. But, boy. I know they're going to have Cena and Punk end the show, son. I think they're going to want to send the crowd home happy. So I'm going to... screw it. I'm going with Del Rio. We have a new champion. Next.
Interesting. Stat Boy.
Well, Tom's right, and I'll explain to you why. This is not my wild card, though. He will win the title after Sheamus gets pissed off enough and uses the bro kick right in front of everyone. Or he does it while the ref's down, Booker T comes out and says, "I'm sorry, sucker, you lose." And Sheamus and Del Rio wins the match, wins the title, and Sheamus will go on to beat the crap out of Del Rio and get the belt back at Hell in a Cell.
Jim.
To use my wild card here or in the... I'm going to use my wild card here.
Okay.
Sheamus retains because Ricardo comes in to try to help and botches that. I'll leave that up to... Do I have to be more specific?
Not terribly. Ricardo's help backfires is kind of downright specific to me.
That's pretty specific. If his
okay, I don't want. If, I don't want to get. I don't want to say more than I have to. Then,
right? Okay, yeah. Because if Ricardo's help works, it doesn't. That doesn't help you.
Right. So I'll just say that Ricardo's help backfires.
Okay. I'm calling Sheamus retains. This is not my wild card. He's going to sneak a brogue kick in, but Booker's not going to call him on it till SmackDown.
Dog, I saw what you did, and I was in the back. I was chilling with Caitlyn after winning her title. Oh, shuck it, duck it, quack, quack. You got to, I got to play it, but I can't do it anymore, sorry.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Oh, my goodness. I still want to use my Booker T bingo card. Damn it! I feel better now. Anchor collage coming. Go ahead.
Okay. And now to the main event. CM Punk, a Paul Heyman guy, versus John Cena, Massachusetts white bread. 1 point, folks. Who wins?
Allow me. Punk retains because WWE doesn't use the hometown rule. My wild card? My dear Uncle Paul will get physically involved.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Tom. Yeah, Tom?
This is breaking me up inside. It really is. Sorry, Nikki. Sorry, Paul. New champion, send the crowd home happy. I'm going to go throw up now.
Poor man's.
Ugh. Why?
Stat boy?
Well, this is going to be a bit weird because my wild card's not for this match either, folks. I'll explain in a moment. Nikki okay. is right. Punk retains. They are not going to just throw it off here just for good old Cena. They're not going to do it. In fact, it's starting to look more and more like it will be Rock Punk at the Rumble for the title where Rock wins. As for my wild card, and boy howdy is it going to be wild. Somebody that went down Monday night will be on the show in some form or another. Jerry the King Lawler will at least show up. Not talking. Well, not in his commentator role. But more or less as a thank you, everyone.
I'd love to see it.
So would I.
How about this, guys? Lawler shows up at Night of Champions. We give it to Stat Boy. Clean.
I'm okay with that.
All right.
What this is, Tom, is that sometimes there is a wild card that is, I almost want to call it too cool to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those that is so cool, so awesome. I want to see that. It's one of those, I want to see this happen. We all want to see it happen. So you essentially win the internets if you can get that kind of wild card going.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's I like that. If it happens, good. I want to see it.
So, Jim, take us home.
Super Cena, does he ride off on the white horse with the green rainbow fruity pebble box? No, he doesn't. I got to agree with Nikki, and I got to, yeah, you know what? And Josh, I guess it is too. CM Punk makes Boston humble, shall we say. Punk wins, and dear old Uncle Paul has a few things to say about it or do about it. In fact, we might even see somebody else chime in. You never know. No names, Brock.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Other people that may be Paul Heyman guys.
Yes.
Hmm. I wonder if Brock is off this weekend. I'll have to make a phone call.
And I wonder if a certain guy with a bit of moxie, my mistake, is going to show up in Boston.
I like that one even better.
By the way, Nikki, why do you use Uncle Paul's 1990 cell phone still?
Huh?
The Dynatech is a fucking awesome phone. Shut up.
It still works.
Hey, if it still works, don't...
If it's good enough for the Gutabi brothers and Night at the Roxbury, I guess it's good enough for you. I'm just saying.
And besides, I still get better... analog reception is still the better reception.
Even though analog has gone down the wayside in the last couple of years completely. But okay.
Shh. Don't tell my phone that.
Touche. Touche.
So that is Night of Champions. Gentlemen, is anybody here going to order it? Because Jim, that's a little out of your way.
What do you mean it's a little out of my way?
How far is it from your neck of the woods to Boston?
Oh, well, all you got to do is you got to go up I-95, park the car, and hop a yard, go to Donnan, watch the Swarks. No, ma.
Oh, man.
Yes. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Be a star. Okay. Jeez. CLW83 cares. It's worth checking now. Just if Lawler shows up, it'll be the best money I've spent ever. Put you that way.
There you go. Tom, you gonna throw some money at it?
If I had money to throw at it, I probably would.
Stat boy?
If and only if I actually had the money to do so. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Tom. While I will be able to actually, I would be able to view the pay-per-view, I probably won't, and just follow along on WrestleChat.net.
There you go, that a boy!
Well, then, I'm going to brag. Because I have the money.
Okay. Millions of dollars.
Oh, I wish it was millions of dollars. But
okay, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Tens of dollars.
Jim's a little closer.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I just, I have the technology. I have the cash flow. So there will be Night of Champions on my TV and a pizza on my table.
Local or brand chain pizza?
Local. We've got a lovely little chain here in here in the Minneapolis area called Chanticleer's.
Ooh.
And look these guys up. They also are the only pizza place I've ever frequented that you can order your pizza for later delivery.
Ooh.
So like I can call these guys.
So you can order it in the morning and have it for an evening delivery or pickup or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
I love that idea.
Domino.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think. But not for delivery, just for pickup, though.
Yeah. See, these guys will even do it for delivery. I can call them at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and say, I want a pizza on my doorstep at 6:15. Done.
That's sweet.
And given the weather this weekend, I might just, I might save myself the delivery fee and walk. It's only a few blocks away.
Okay. Mm. Nice.
A little oxygen in you. Sure.
And I've been there enough times that I can almost call them and say the usual. Thin crust, ground beef, pineapple. They do a thing called splash, which is essentially something they add to the tomato sauce to enhance the flavor.
Ah.
Hmm.
And they've got something called, I think it's called Sweet Heat.
Sweet! Oh. Heat!
And then I tell them to make sure that the pizza is well done. Or you can look for the picture, how to burn 800 calories in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And they show you a charcoal briquette of a pizza.
Oh.
That's about as close, that's pretty close to how I like mine.
Jeez.
Extra crispy. So... Now that I have at least plugged them, since I am on a show that I shouldn't be plugging my own show. Jim.
Yeah, hi.
I bet you got a few things to promote.
Well, yeah, first and foremost, if you're going to be in the Vineland, New Jersey area, if you're in southern Jersey, in Vineland, New Jersey, there is an interesting event coming up. I want to make sure I get the proper information for this, so indulge me for just one moment. Triple FX Entertainment is bringing to town at Vineland High School, and I'll tell you why I'm going to technically promote this in a second, ACPW. Now, what does that stand for, you ask? I will tell you. It is American Championship Pro Wrestling. You can go to acpwrestling.com. They have a show on October 6th. Doors open at 6 p.m. for pre-show activities. Bell time at 7. Tickets can be purchased at 3fxentertainment.com, the number 3fxentertainment.com. Something for everybody there. General admission tickets are, let me see if I can see that, like $12. And for kids, it's half that, and so on and so forth. Among those who will be attending, or performing, I should say, Stevie Richards, the Blue Meanie, the Blue Guy, Hernandez and Crimson, and of course the cat, Stacy Carter, will make a special appearance as well. But here's the thing. I promote this for a very interesting reason that has nothing to do with anybody on the card. It's selfish, I'm sorry. It looks as if I am going to be doing play-by-play of this event, which is pretty exciting. This will be my, you know, if I may use a Joey Stylesism here, my wrestling play-by-play virginity. Lillian Garcia, take it away. So, so there's that. Also, there is another episode of Wrestle Chat Radio coming sometime next week with, I'm not going to pronounce his name because I'm going to botch it, I know. But the man who is doing an independent film, has been for 10 years plus, on ECW. They have enough money for the funding, and it's in the clear. So the new independent ECW film chronicling just what the promotion was all about, with lots of interviews with ECW originals and journalists and what have you, is going to happen. We're going to interview him sometime next week, and hopefully Nikki or Jason or somebody else will be along for the ride.
No, I plan to be there, at least if you guys will have me.
If the timing's right, that's the other aspect of it, but we'll go there. We'll cross that bridge.
There you go. Stat Boy.
Yes.
Do you have anything to promote?
Not personally, although, for those out there wondering, yes, I've got Borderlands 2 coming, or we've got Borderlands 2 coming, which is coming out here this coming Tuesday. I just botched all of that.
Smooth.
And it's looking 10 types of magnificent. I personally have it on the PC. If you want to play, just drop me a line on my Facebook or just search for me on Steam under the name Phil Ken Sandman.
And Tom, do you have anything to promote?
I'd like to plug my current match right now against a fly in my room that I want to kill.
Oh, this is good. I can do some play-by-play practice here.
This is live. I've got a magazine.
Delgado's got the magazine. Look out, the fly.
And if you've heard that, that was the sound of a fly going dead.
He smacked him. Good God Almighty. That fly, he killed him. It's got his body like this. That fly's broken in half.
That's it. That's it.
Somebody stop the damn match! Enough of this.
Yeah, the match is over. I already won.
Oh, gimmick. I'm sorry.
You'll be fine.
That fly fell the equivalent of 16 feet high.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I'm, and don't tell me that fly doesn't know how to fall. Yeah, I have a feeling I'll be one and done with this promotion. I'm not going to act like this. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I promise we won't send this part of the video to them.
Video? Wow. Okay.
You want to see video?
I would love to have video of Tom's match with the fly. Anyway.
What is to be video? We got video. You want 21? I got two of those too.
On that note, I think we better get out of here before this gets any worse.
Well, hold on, Tom. Did you have anything you did want to plug?
Seriously.
No, I've lost everything now.
And your lunch as well. Okay.
Okay.
With that in mind, Tom, you will be welcomed back to the show. You have been warned.
Okay, I look forward to it, Nikki. Thanks for having me tonight.
And the warning didn't even last 3 minutes. So,
somebody say 3 minutes?
Yes.
Pony.
No! That's it. No.
What? Did you want to get stopped by a couple of Samoans? I can arrange it.
No, do I look like Bob Barker to you? Oh, you meant those Samoans. I the Price is Right in a couple of weeks. I'm sorry.
That does it. Well, we've killed Tom, so I think we're gonna call it a night for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, the poor Tom Delgado that is in the middle of a major raffle, and Mr. Jim Williams, who is going to beat me over the head with a folding chair because I have ponied him too much tonight.
Ryan, where's the chair?
My name is Nikki Heyman. The door's over there. I'm out. Good night, everybody.
Duck!
Crap!
Hunt?
No, I was going for chair.
Oh, I was thinking Duck Hunt. Good night.
If you have any questions or comments about this podcast, please submit them to clw3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in!